Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is a Faith and Family Friday edition of the program, and it is the day of evaluating the Camino. Believe it or not, yes, having finished the Camino, I'm now at the point where I had a chance to evaluate. Well, I had some goals in mind when I started. How did that all work out? So today in the program, I have a chance to kind of walk you guys through that whole process of evaluating, okay, now I am making it home. What was that all about? So I hope and pray that that is a blessing to you. It's going to be great to get back to some normal programming, which will be happening next week. All right. I look forward to that as well. God bless.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, thank you and praise you for life, for our faith, for all the good gifts that you give to us, and for the opportunity, Lord, to follow you when you open a door for us. And I thank you, Jesus, for the gift of being able to walk the Camino, and I pray that my sharing today would be a blessing to those who listen. And Lord, I just ask that you give us each a sense of opportunities that you open up to us in our lives and give us the grace to say yes to them. And I make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, I want to welcome you to my journey of hiking the Camino. Here I am. I now, in my last video, shared with you the final stage of walking into Santiago, reaching the culminating point of my Camino, attending the Pilgrim's Mass at 12 noon, and shared that experience with you. And so now I'm picking up on the journey home. I mentioned that one of the key themes that ends up resulting from walking the Camino is this idea that walking this intense period where so many things are stripped down in our lives, that we get to focus on walking this path of prayer and penance as a pilgrim and all of the other things that I've mentioned, is that there's a way in which that can carry back to our own lives. And so I'm going to share with you at both a practical level, this is what happened getting me home. And there's a kind of a couple of fun stories here. I like to say a couple of instances of the hand of God providing in very surprising ways in this final journey home, and a bit of a wake-up call, a bit of a sense of saying, really, this is the fruit of my being on the Camino. So I am actually going to evaluate a measure. I'm going to take a measure of, here are the goals that I had when I set out, and here's what happened. And so so let's dive in. Where we left off, I'm walking out of Mass, and it's just probably a little bit after 1, and I have a 6 o'clock flight. And so I'm like, well, let me enjoy a bit of a final lunch. And again, this was a bit different for me, that I wasn't traveling with a group over the course of many days. And so I was very comfortable just eating myself, just eating and having a meal by myself to finish off the time. And if I happened to end up sitting near or bumping into someone who also had just finished, be happy to celebrate and congratulate each other for getting there. But that ended up not happening. So I had a final pilgrim's meal. It was start off with a soup. And as I mentioned
in my last video, I had given up bread and had that as part of my fasting during the Camino. And so gave myself permission to enjoy some of that amazing fresh bread with a very tasty bowl of soup that was a bit more substantial, the soup. And then again, a simple meal that, you know, a piece of chicken and some fries, but they're not fried, like they're more like chunked potatoes, very common, you know, a hike, a pilgrim meal, and some non-alcoholic beer. I stayed on that trail of doing that, of not drinking alcohol. And so finished my meal and I'm like, okay, so it's, you know, around 2 o'clock. Let me walk a bit through the city and make my way to a place where I'm likely going to get a taxi. So my goal is to get to the airport by 4 o'clock. The recommendation is arrive for international flights about 2 hours in advance. And so it's just after 3 o'clock. Sorry. So after the mass and then the meal, I'm like, you know what, let me make my way to out of the old part of the city down to the busier part of Santiago so that I'll be able to pick up a taxi. And unfortunately, the journey, the Camino to the airport became a bit of an unexpectedly anxiety-ridden moment. What is going on? Well, the first natural thing that I'll do if I'm thinking taxi and I'm in the United States is I'm going to go on Uber. And I had done a quick Google search and there was, oh yeah, Uber works in Santiago. Well, not for me. So I got on Uber and sorry, no cars available. Sorry, no cars available. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to actually get a taxi. And so I'm thinking, okay, tons of pilgrims, taxis are going to be everywhere. This is not going to be an uncommon thing. And I saw a couple of taxis, waved at them, and they wagged me off, wagged the finger. No, I'm sorry. It kept moving. And I'm thinking, okay, so this is a bit unexpected. I'm expecting more of the, yeah, taxis are just going to be in more congested areas and available, and I'm just going to find one and go. Not happened. Okay, so back on my phone, do some Google searching. How do I find a taxi in Santiago? It gave me the top choices. Called the first choice, the most popular one. Phone rings and rings and rings. No one's picking up. Okay, well, let me go to the second one. So I call the second one and phone rings and rings and someone picks up. And I say, hey, I'd like a taxi. Well, when would you like it? Let's schedule it. I'm like, well, I'd like it right now. And they're like, that's not how we work. We schedule taxis in advance, significantly in advance, like tomorrow. And I'm thinking, okay, that's not going to be helpful. So what do you recommend? Well, we recommend calling this other one, which was the first one. I'm thinking, well, they're not picking up. So let me call the third one. So I call the third one, and I'm also pretty clever here about things, and I'm imagining, okay, the people who pick up might only speak Spanish. So I use Google Translate to come up with the exact phrase, the exact sentences that I wanted to speak to the person answering the phone so that they would not hang up on me, so that they would be able to understand what I was saying. And I was like, I would like a taxi to the airport. Here's where I actually am. I'm at these two crossroads in front of this supermarket. And I would like to order that for right now. So I've got that all teed up, ready to go on my phone. I call this third number and the woman who answers the phone, she does answer after a handful of rings. I said to her in Spanish, do you speak English? And she hung up. Oh, that was not very smart. She didn't speak English. And so she was not interested in trying to navigate a very stunted conversation. Just move on. There are other pilgrims for her to serve who are going to be calling her. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm not so clever. I should have just spoken. I just sort of jumped right in and said, hi, I would like a taxi right down to the airport in Spanish, but did not do that. So, all right, now I'm getting anxious. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, it's 3:30. Time is moving on here. I need to get to this airport. I can't walk to the airport, even though I've been walking all this way. I actually thought for a moment, how long would it take me to walk to the airport? So there was this sense of being powerless. What am I going to do? Like, taxis won't pick me up. Uber doesn't work. The principal taxi service is not answering. The other ones I need to order in advance, and this other lady has not taken my call. And I tried calling back, and it kept going right to voicemail. It was like they blocked my number. They did something, but I tried calling them back to try the let me just speak in Spanish to you, and it literally kept just going to voice. It kept not connecting. Like it was like they had rejected my number or blocked my number. And I'm thinking, okay, this. And I was like, Lord, I need help. I'm feeling powerless here. I'm anxious. And I start turning to the Lord, to the Blessed Mother. I pray to Memorare. And I'm like, I need some help, help. And in the back of my mind, it just kind of bubbled up. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. Did this 31-day journey work or what? Most fundamental insights or principles that guides those who are pilgrims walking the Camino is trust that you're going to be taken care of. Trust that you'll get what you need. Trust that things will work out. And here I am, an hour away from the time that I just finished hiking this 31-day journey, and I'm 34 days into this path that I've walked from the time that I got off I got on the plane on Sunday, the 25th of August. Here I am 34 days later, and I'm thinking, okay, did this even work? I've got all this anxiety over getting to the airport. And okay, yeah, I felt powerless. Like, okay, if I can't get to the airport, what's going to happen? I'm going to miss my flight, and therefore I'm not going to get to Paris, and therefore I'm not going to miss my flight the next day. I'm not going to get home. And all right, like, even if those things did happen, it's not the end of the world. I would figure stuff out, right? I'm not dying. And so I'm like, okay, pray, and now breathe and trust. All right, let me go back to the beginning and call the first taxi service. All right, let me go back to the beginning and call the first taxi service. So I did, let the phone ring and ring and ring. And gratefully, a woman answered. And I, in the moment, just said, do you speak English? Again, in Spanish, you know, hablas inglés? And she said, yes. And then I ended up reading my Google Translate in Spanish. And she said, and she responded in English, I know where you're at. I have a taxi. It's taxi number X. And they're going to call you to confirm. And they're going to meet you in front of that supermarket. It'll be about 15 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I don't have to do anything. Just get in front of that. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Hang up. Go wait in front of the supermarket. And I'm waiting, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to trust that this is all working out. And sure enough, about 10 minutes later, I get a call back from the service saying this particular taxi is headed your way. And shortly after that, a taxi pulls up, and I'm like, oh, this must be my taxi, like right in front of the supermarket. And so it's a woman taxi driver, and I get in the taxi and she says, is your name Mary? And I'm like, no. I'm like, she says, well, I'm here to pick up Mary. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to get to the airport. Like, can we forget about Mary and just get me to the airport? And then my phone rings and it's the other taxi driver. Now, it's the same taxi service, the name of the taxi company. So I handed her the phone and I said, can you handle this? And so she ended up speaking to him. And it was like, yeah, hey, I'm here to pick up Mary. Oh, this is your guy. Got it. Yeah, he's here in front of the supermarket. Okay, great. I'll be there. So she gave me back the phone. She said, it's fine. He's coming. So I ended up getting out of the taxi and Mary was sitting on the other side of the street just sitting at a table outside a bar waiting for her taxi. So she gets into her taxi, she leaves, and now I'm getting anxious again. Like, okay, is this guy going to show? Did that message all get clear? Did he realize that, in fact, I'm not in Mary's taxi? And I'm back to being anxious again. Well, sure enough, 10 minutes later, he does show up and off we go. So we have a relatively uneventful ride to the airport. The one thing that was striking to me, one little kind of cutesy memory, was that I asked him how he was doing. He said he was really tired because it was a long day. And I was looking at him through the rearview mirror, and I could see that his eyes were getting tired and kind of drooping. I'm like, okay, this is my first ride in a car, a significant ride in a car in 35 days. I do not want to be in a car accident on my way to the airport because the taxi driver is really tired. So I just start talking to him, peppering him with questions and using the best Spanish I can to engage him in conversation. And the thing that grabbed him was that I was walking the Camino and I have 9 kids. And so that got him, that woke him up. And then he asked me, are you Opus Dei? How interesting was that? Are you Opus Dei? Opus Dei does have roots in Spain. And I thought that was really kind of neat. So we ended up having a kind of a waking him up conversation, and it got me to the airport safely. Thank you, Lord. So get to the airport. In fact, I make it there by, you know, around 4 o'clock. Praise God. And I go and I sit down and have a cup of coffee and time to go to the gate. So I end up going to the gate and there's still time where I'm waiting at the gate for the plane. And there's this sort of seating area that is, it's kind of shaped almost like a banana, right? So there's kind of like a bench-like setting all the way around the edge of this kind of work of art seating area. And around one of the edges, the top part, one end, there was a fellow who had walked the Camino, who had sat down and had put his hiking backpack right there next to him on the sort of the edge of the bench. And most of the seats were taken, but there was a space next to his backpack to sit down. And I could tell he had walked the Camino, not that I had seen him, but the nature of the backpack, and he had these hiking poles in his backpack. And his hiking poles were sticking out of his backpack, but his backpack had leaned in such a way that his hiking poles were cutting off the ability to be able to sit in that open spot. And so I very kindly and gently just said to him, excuse me, sir, I said, would you mind just sliding your backpack over just a little bit? Your hiking poles are like preventing me from being able to sit down here. And this fellow looked at me with, I don't know, it was a kind of a combination of disdain, being bothered, and like really being put off by me. Like, are you serious? Are you kidding me? All right, fine. And he moved his backpack and I was able to peacefully sit down. Thank you. And I thought to myself, how ironic. Because if we had encountered each other just a day ago, if I had arrived at a bar and we had been hiking during the day and reached one of those stopping points to get a drink, and his backpack was on the ground and his hiking poles were up blocking a seat, and I had approached as a fellow pilgrim and was like, hey, would you mind just sliding your backpack out of the way so I could sit down here? His response would have been, absolutely, Oh, for sure. Oh, I am so sorry. Please. Oh, yeah, please sit down. The spirit of openness, the willingness to receive each other, the willingness to show favor to each other, prominent and dominant. It's the normal mode of being when you're hiking the Camino. And now here this guy is, like probably a day out from finishing his Camino. He's back at the airport and he's already returned to his sort of like, this is my space, not your space. What are you asking of me? Who are you and why would you do that? And I thought, oh man, did the Camino work for you? Did it even work? Like for me, it was, Tom, did the Camino work? Here you are, you're back anxious again that somehow God in his providential care for you is not going to take care of you and get you to the airport. You don't have to be anxious, right? Luke 12, 32, do not live in fear, little flock. It's pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. And yet that truth that had been ingrained in me, had taken root in me over the course of my Camino, it was all somehow just the first sign of being back into the world, and even just the entry point to get back to the world, I'm anxious again. And here's this guy, like grumbly and upset and put off because someone's asking him for a simple act of like acknowledgement that, you know, hey, your backpack's taking up an unnecessary amount of space, and can you make room? And all of a sudden, no, I'm not interested in making room for you, and how dare you bother me like that? I'm like, oh, God bless you, you poor guy. It's like, did the Camino work for you? So I smiled at that. I smiled in the sense of saying, wow, all right, there's no guarantee that what we live on the Camino, what ends up growing in us, is going to carry forward after the Camino. But that's the whole point. The whole point is come apart from your ordinary life to more to live more intensely the core structure of being a human being, that we're on the way and we're not home and heaven's our home, so that I can go back to my life and I can live that life from the benefits I gained by the coming apart. That this would be for you like when you go on a retreat. On a retreat, right? You go on a retreat to advance, right? You come away from your ordinary activities, you set apart your ordinary day and flow of the day, you get away from the distractions and the pressures and the stresses, and you focus more on the Lord. You pursue Him. So that when that is done, you go back to the challenges of your day-to-day life. In a lot of ways, it's also the spirit of the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, right? You come apart from living day to day, your daily duties of your state in life. You know, you're working, you're going to school, you have family obligations, all of these different things that are part of your life. But then the Lord's Day, it's a day set apart. It's a day to say, I am made for worship, communion with the Lord, and profound relationships that are marked by truth and love, fellowship, life, freedom, joy, family, etc. Right? So leisure. So living the reality of the Lord's Day well is going to then overflow into, it's food for my journey to be able to go back into my day-to-day life. All right, so these are the things going through my mind sitting in there in the airport, get on the plane, couple hour flight, get to Paris. And off the plane, I end up staying in a hotel at the airport just to be able to be there early for the flight from Paris back to the United States.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight.
Again, my family doesn't know that I'm coming home. They think it's Friday night and I'm in Paris. They think I'm going to get to Paris on Monday night, 3 days later, and that I'm going to arrive home Tuesday in the evening. And instead, I'm going to be home the next day on Saturday, so 3 days earlier. And so I'm keeping up this facade of saying, yeah, I'm at the hotel, and I was. And I'm resting from my day of hiking, and I was. It's just that they're thinking I'm 2 days behind where I actually am. And so it was, I was trying not to like, okay, I'm not lying to them, but I'm kind of letting them be in a place of not knowing the full picture of where I'm at for the sake of the big ta-da surprise. Okay, so I have a great night's sleep. And I wake up early, and the timing of things, have some coffee, head out. And this is, again, another one of those, like, oh, wow, okay, God, the meaning of the moment, right? I had asked the people at the front desk, how early should I get there? And they said, well, we recommend 3 hours early because it's going to be a Saturday morning. Lots of people are going to be coming to the airport to fly. And the biggest challenge is not security, you know, for the bags. I'm not checking anything. It's the passport control. So I end up arriving at the passport control at this precise moment where the American passport line in a few other countries was all the way back. I mean, it was probably 150 feet to the booths where people with these passports would check in. And there must have been 300 or 400 people in line. It was this very long, full queue that was going all the way back. And it ended up, here was the entry point for that line. And the moment that I arrived, the entry point for that line became full. Like, what I mean is, as I was approaching that entry point, I just had entered into this, you know, set of roped off areas. And as I'm approaching the lane decision point, the woman that was there to guide people put the person who was two people in front of me into the end of that line, the very end of that several hundred person queue for American passports in several other countries. And the person in front of me was not American. And she said, oh, you're in this line. This line was, again, a couple hundred foot long roped off area with almost no one in it. You could go 125 of the 150 feet, and it was only the last 25 feet where there were people, maybe, let's say 50 people compared to the 400 people. And this was all passports. And so I was the next person in line. And so she looked at my passport, American. She looked at the line, the queue that was entirely full, and she said, go in this other line. If I had arrived at that passport control 15 seconds earlier, I would have been the last person in that incredibly long line. And instead, I was the first American to be welcomed into the all passport line that morning. and was able to walk my way through past hundreds of Americans and others waiting in their passport control line to get to a much, much shorter line all the way to the front. And, you know, I at the end of the day, I would have made it, but it would have been so much more stressful waiting in that really long line and watching this other line, people just walking through all the way to the front. And what was also striking was about 15 minutes later, I scanned back all the way past those hundreds of feet that I had walked in, a couple hundred feet that I'd walked in to get to the place where my line was. And that queue, that line, also was filled up. So if I got there 15 minutes later, I would have been at the back of a very long all passport line. If I'd gotten there 15 seconds earlier, I would have been at the back of the American and a few other countries line. So the timing of things, it really does matter. It really does matter. So I get through, get on my plane, and off I go. Now, I had done a little bit of looking into the Wi-Fi capabilities of the plane. And the reason why is that I'm going to be on this plane for 11 hours. And that meant I was going to be in a circumstance where I wasn't going to be able to, or was potentially going to be relying on the Wi-Fi to stay in contact with Carrie and the family. Because I'm a pretty diligent guy when it comes to staying in contact. And I had let them know, here strategically, I'd said, okay, I have a long day. I've got a long walk today. And so I wanted to create the expectation that, hey, I will send a video first thing in the morning. So just before I take off on the plane, I'm going to send a video saying, I'm taking off, going to have a great day. Okay, pray for me and praying for you. And then I was going to use the Wi-Fi on the plane to send a text update that says, hey, I'm at the hotel, I'm just resting, and I will talk to you in a bit, to basically get me all the way to the airport in Salt Lake City to be able to then communicate with Carrie. Okay, so that was my plan. Didn't work. Didn't work because, to unbeknownst to me, there was this area during the flight that lasted about 5 hours where the Wi-Fi wasn't working. There was this sort of darked out area. Now the claim on the app for the airlines was, we provide satellite-based Wi-Fi service end to end. From the moment you get on to the moment you get off, you're good to go and you're gonna be able to stay in touch. I asked the flight attendant, he said, yeah, unfortunately there's this dark out area as we cross over England and we start heading over the Atlantic and coming through Iceland, Greenland, and just south of the Hudson Bay in Canada. And he's like, yeah, we won't get back Wi-Fi until we're in the United States, hours and hours later. And I that might not sound like a big deal to you. The challenge was this was during hours where I was, for the last 30 days, in contact with Carrie, talking with her, talking about the day, how are things going, and all of that. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh no, this is going to potentially freak her out. Like, is my husband okay? Is why isn't he calling? What's going on? And I'm anxious again. I'm sitting on the plane and I just have hours, and I just sit there trying to refresh, and it's not happening. The plane is not giving me Wi-Fi. And he's like, you've got to get past the Hudson Bay. You've got to get really, really into the U.S. It is what it is. And this guy doesn't know, right? Now, remember now, in Spain, I'm 9 hours ahead. And it's now what would have been around 9 o'clock at night. And normally I would have been talking to her by 3 in the afternoon, 4 in the afternoon, very latest 5 in the afternoon to check in. And I have now gone dark. As far as she's concerned, like, where's Tom? 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Where is he? What is going on? Is he okay? Is he? And so, you know, I don't know what's happening on her side. And so I'm like, all right. So let me tell you that, like, here, I call this a little minor miracle. I'm like, Lord, you've got to help me out. You've got to help me out here, Lord. I'm going to ask for, like, the kind of the impossible. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to take my phone off of airplane mode. And I'm going to see if I can get my carrier, T-Mobile, to connect to cellular service at 40,000 feet, going 580 miles an hour in an airplane. Can I get any cell service? And I'm like, I know it's pretty much impossible, but Lord, make a way, please make a way. I need to get my wife a message, please. And so I try it, doesn't work. And I'm like, all right, Lord, please, please, just, can you please get me this? I just need to get her a message that I'm fine. And I try it again, and all of a sudden, I get one bar of service. And it was a matter of 5 seconds. I had a message already copied into Carrie's text, and all of a sudden, I saw a bar. I got a message from Carrie hit my text, and I'm like, send. And it delivered my text message. And then her message to me was, hey, it's Mary Grace's birthday, our oldest daughter. It was her birthday on Saturday the 28th. And give her a call. And I had hit send on my message. And then I liked her message just to give her a sign that I'm with you. Now, the message, the liking of the message ended up immediately saying not delivered. The text message gave me an indication that it had gone through. The one bar disappeared. It was like, literally, it connected for 5 seconds. I hit send. I got that message through, and not even the like, but that message got through. That message that said, so sorry for not being in touch. Terrible Wi-Fi and cellular service. I will call you as soon as I can get to service. And that message got through. And that was literally the last time I got service on that plane ride. Not even when I got into the United States and we're going through populated areas, the Wi-Fi service on the plane never reconnected. And so I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for, like, taking care of this little detail, right? This little detail of something that I really something that I needed and wanted to be able to provide for my wife so that she would not be like overwhelmed with concern. My husband has died and he's in a hospital somewhere, or he's in a hospital, he's fallen over this long last stage. He was too much. Somebody, you know, jumped him or he's hurt. And now that's what my mind would go if she wasn't in touch with me. She's not like that so much. She eventually, when we got to all this, she was like, yeah, Mary Grace, because they were all talking in the family, like, where's dad? He's not in touch with us. And they're like, oh, I'm sure his phone died and he's trying to get to a place to charge his phone back. I'm sure that's what it is. So I finally land in Salt Lake City and immediately get to a place where I text her. I don't actually call her. I text her and I say, I am so sorry, but there's just terrible cell service here. I'm trying to make phone calls and they're not going through, which is true. I tried to make phone calls that weren't going through because the Wi-Fi didn't work. And messages are not being sent. This one got through. I'm just going to talk to you tomorrow. This is, again, on Saturday afternoon, right around 3 o'clock, where I've landed in Salt Lake City. So she got the message, and she said, thanks for letting me know, and I'll talk to you in the morning. So I was like, okay, I'm safe. She's not going to try to call me. She knows that, or she's thinking that it's midnight where I am, and I'm actually just an hour ahead of her in the time zone. It's 3 in the afternoon. It's 2 where she is in the Spokane area. And so I end up calling my oldest daughter, Mary Grace, to say happy birthday. And then I let her know I'm actually in Salt Lake City. And she's like, what? And that was really neat. It was really neat to kind of bring her in on the surprise. And I got to share with her the videos of me actually arriving in Santiago de Compostela. And that was my birthday gift to her, to be able to let her in on the secret. And then she wanted to be in on the planning of, okay, how are you gonna surprise mom? And one of the things that had happened was that I missed my connecting flight. So the flight out of Paris was delayed. And it delayed long enough that I was not gonna make it to my connecting flight, because I just had a short window between landing in Salt Lake and my connecting flight. And I'm a pretty diligent guy about handling things like that. And so when I saw that that was going to happen in Paris while I was waiting for the flight, I booked myself on the last flight out of Salt Lake City, the only other flight out of Salt Lake City that would go to Spokane. So instead of arriving at 4:15 in the afternoon, which was my original surprise time, instead, I was going to get home around 11:30 at night. And that ended up giving me about 5 hours of, or 6 hours of time in the Salt Lake City airport. And at first I was a bit frustrated at that. And then I thought, no, you know what? The Lord is giving me a gift. And the gift that this is giving to me is a chance to journal and to reflect, you know, in a peaceful environment. I'm not going anywhere. I've already got my next flight. I'm just here. Let me journal. Like, what was that all about? What was this Camino thing all about? And let me evaluate, like, did it work? Right? Like, how are the goals that I had set out? How did I actually do in relationship to those goals? And that was the gift that being in the Salt Lake City airport gave me the chance to do. So I'm going to share it with you now, you know, from my journal, just saying, okay, let me evaluate my Camino. And if you remember, I had associated the Camino with 4 sets of goals, my 10X life, which I'll describe to you, right? That idea of living more in a way that was more perfectly aligned with the reasons for which I was created. The second was being a pilgrim, walking the path of prayer and penance. The third was the idea of seeking his face, seeking the holy face of Jesus and the holy face devotion. And the last was going out into the deep and being available for a miraculous, astonishing catch of fish. And so going out to the deep, yes, Lord, let's go. So my 10X life. So my goal had to do with some, let's call them some foundational ideas, like, oh, I want to lose weight and I want to get in shape. And did it work? Well, I originally had set out a goal of losing about 30 pounds. Right? I had a vision in my mind of me being much more trim. And I knew that based on the weight that I was leaving when I was leaving for the Camino, even with all of the training that I had done, I knew approximately my weight. I didn't want to make it a huge point of focus, but I knew that I wanted to slim down, trim down significantly by walking the Camino. And sure enough, when I ended up getting home, it was two things really surprised me. The difference between the number on the scale and the fit of my clothes. And the surprising thing was this, is that the fit of my clothes that I was able to experience when I got home was way more than I anticipated. I was able to fit into clothes that were like only accessible to me when I was about, again, 30 pounds lighter. And yet I was fitting into them. And I was like, well, then I looked at the number on the scale and it was only about 20 pounds less. I'm thinking, what? I don't get it. How can I fit into 30 pound less clothing when I only lost 20 pounds? And then it dawned on me what people will say, and you know, I maybe haven't really experienced so much, which was, oh, muscle weighs more than fat. And so you may lose less weight, but you've gained more muscle. And in fact, that's what happened. So I received, let's call it, the benefit of being trimmed down in accord with the goal that I had. Now, I think that I can be a little bit harder on myself regarding this, where I was like, I think I had a little bit of a higher goal in mind in terms of being a bit more trim, but I the way that I was affirmed by Carrie and my kids when I did get home that Saturday night, and it was like, wow, Dad, you look so good. You've lost so much weight. And really, it was sort of through the face as well as the being trimmed in my body. It was very noticeable to the ones who, my family, that, you know, that see me all the time, even though the scale, it wasn't indicating as much of an impact as I thought. Okay, second. So in terms of losing weight, getting in shape, yeah, check those boxes. And it did impact my post-Camino life, where I'll talk about more about that, but let's say yes, mission accomplished. The third basic one was detoxing from technology. And so by that, I mean, you know, the frequency and ease with which I would access technology for a, like when I had a break in my day or during just simple, you know, in-between times, do I go to technology? Do I waste time scrolling? Stuff like that. Definitely striving to say, I just don't want that to be a part of my life nearly in the way that it was. And I'm going to give myself a mixed grade. So if I want to give myself, let's call it an A minus on the losing weight and an A in getting stronger, or maybe an A minus, I'm going to say I give myself a B or a B minus on the detoxing from technology, because even though it's true that I did have a number of good, not just days, but even weeks where I was not accessing technology and spending so much more time in prayer and reflection, I did end up utilizing technology to get me through hard days. So whether it was when I was injured and in a lot of pain, or when I was walking longer walks, I leaned on podcasts to be a hiking stick support to get me through. And that disappointed me. That was something that I was disappointed in, that I settled for that. So continuing on real quickly, there was this idea of shifting my real estate work. And yes, part one of that, absolutely. I found myself in a much better place in terms of handing on work to other agents and setting myself up to have more capacity to engage in consulting and coaching work and being a presenter to brokers and agents and brokerages. In fact, I'm talking to you from the Luxury Real Estate Conference location where I just gave my talk. I mentioned that when I got back from the Camino, I was giving a talk a handful of days later. Well, guess what? That handful of days later was actually yesterday. And the talk went very well, and I've gotten great feedback, and now I'm strategically taking advantage of that to get to my next place. Okay. Writing books, doing live videos, absolutely, here I am. I have had a string of weeks now where I've been doing daily reflections, theological, spiritual, and live streamed reflections on YouTube and Facebook. And so thanks be to God, that mission accomplished. I want to give myself a B, and there's a reason why. I had committed to, if you go back to my first video, daily live praying of the rosary. And I did not do any live praying of the rosary on the Camino. And for whatever reasons, it was really, I over imagined what I was going to be able to accomplish in that regard. And then the idea of praying more and doing more silence, absolutely was able to accomplish that. And so that actually brings me to my second one, and that's being a pilgrim, walking the path of prayer and penance. And in fact, I did. I'm going to give myself an A or an A plus for that. I've shared with you a number of times already in the course of these videos that seeing every day and every step of my journey as a path of penance and as a prayer was something that I grew immensely in terms of my awareness and my attitude and my way of living. I am very grateful to God for the growth that happened in me and the way I was able to live that out. The third had to do with the Holy Face, seeking His face. And I'm going to give myself a B on that one as well. On the one hand, I gained, again, lots of new insight through life regarding the idea that I'm seeking His face and putting a very special meaning to that regarding the Holy Face devotion. So that portion, yes, definitely gained a greater insight into that. On the flip side, the part that I really fell short had to do with the actual devotion of praying the prayers of consecration to the Holy Face and praying the Golden Arrow prayer. That ended up not being a thing. I did it twice in the course of the Camino. I meant to do it over 33 days and do a consecration to the Holy Face on the 34th day. Did not happen. And so that part I'm still working out, still trying to think and pray about what does that mean for me going forward. But, you know, so I'll give myself a B. And then the last is going out into the deep, right? That availability to go out into the deep and lower my nets for an astonishing catch and really being open to the miraculous. And so I'm going to give myself a B or a C in that one. And I don't know, maybe the surprise is this, is that it did happen, and the miraculous catch were the 15 to 20, like, deeply impactful conversations that I had on the Camino with these many people that you've had a chance to hear about. I wasn't really convinced that that was it. I felt like there was going to be more miraculous manifestations that emerged maybe over time, and it hasn't happened so far. So I don't know honestly what to make of that. And I'm wondering if that's going to be sort of post Camino life. So I am still pondering that, but that's what I'm going to leave you with now. So I'm going to finish this particular video. It's been a bit of a longer one, but I wanted to give you a sense of evaluating like how I did. I set it out. I set out to accomplish these goals, and how did I end up doing? So there you go. I'm going to talk tomorrow about my biggest surprises on the Camino. All right. God bless.